Good morning. If you're listening to this sermon, it means that you are fully aware that we've canceled our in-person Sunday morning worship due to the bad weather, and more importantly, due to the dangerous driving conditions on the road. But I want to thank you for going online and listening to this sermon. I am fully aware that you could have slept in. You could have just said, well, we're not going to do church today. But the fact is that you're here. You're seeking. You're still showing up, even if it's in your living room instead of worshiping together in person. And I actually, that's the perfect picture of what we're talking about today. Because following Jesus doesn't depend on perfect circumstances. Following Jesus doesn't require ideal conditions. Following Jesus means showing up wherever you are, and trusting that He is already there. Now, last Sunday, when we were together in person, we talked about the move from day one to day two, from just knowing about Jesus to actually seeing where Jesus is. And the disciples asked Jesus in John chapter 1, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus answered, "Come and see." They went, they stayed with him that day around at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they discovered Jesus was the Messiah. But that's not where the story ends, of course, because after you come and see who Jesus is, Jesus then says, "Follow me." After you discover where he is staying, you discover he's actually not staying put. Jesus is on the move. And the question shifts from where are you to where are you going? That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Our gospel reading is Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23, and it's our lectionary reading for this Sunday. Let me read this passage to you. Verse 12, chapter 4 of Matthew's gospel. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come and follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother, John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and they immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Now here ends the reading for today, but let me just open us up in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you may move in our hearts and in our lives this morning. And though, Lord Jesus, as we find our comfort in comfortable places, Father, we pray that we may find our true comfort and protection and rest and guidance in you. It is in your most precious name, and all of God's people said, Amen. So, looking at Matthew's gospel, the first thing we see in verse 12 is that when Matthew says, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, I want to just double click on this, because what we see is that something is ending and something is beginning. We see that John the Baptist, the forerunner who pointed to Jesus, is arrested, which means that obviously his ministry is coming to a close, not because he is put into prison, but because Jesus' ministry is beginning. And Jesus is on the move. He is moving to Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, notice that Jesus did not go to Jerusalem. He didn't go to the religious center, didn't go to the temple, but Galilee. Galilee on the margins. Galilee, the place Isaiah called the land of the shadow of death. And what we see is that Matthew quotes Isaiah 9, which is actually another lectionary reading for us this morning. But Matthew quotes Isaiah 9 that says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. This is it. The light breaking into darkness, the kingdom arriving. And Jesus' first words in Matthew, notice, is repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. John pointed to the coming king, and what we see is that Jesus is the king. And his first words, repent, the Greek word, as we know, is metanoe, which means, as we know, transform your entire framework. Meaning, there is a king, a new kingdom, and a new way of living. Not someday, not in the near future, but now, here, and it's near. Even in your living room on a snowy Sunday morning, the kingdom has come near. Now, last week, the disciples asked Jesus, where are you staying? And Jesus said, come and see. Stay with me. And that word, abide. But this week, we discover something else. Jesus isn't staying in one place. Like I've said, the kingdom is on the move. The king is on the move. The kingdom isn't something far off that you wait for. The kingdom is pressing in. It's right here. And it's right now. And as the king moves, he is calling people to follow, which brings us to verse 18, which says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. And notice something. Jesus isn't sitting in the synagogue waiting for people to come to him. He's not saying the kingdom has arrived, now come to the temple and learn about it. But what we see is that Jesus is walking. And like I said, Jesus is on the move. The king is on the move. And as he moves, he is calling people to follow him. And as he walks, he sees Peter and Andrew. And they're casting nets into the lake. Notice, it's just ordinary work. And for them, up until this point, it's just an ordinary day. They're fishermen doing what fishermen do. But Jesus changes their world. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. Now, I want you to notice something. As I've said, Jesus says last week, come and see. And this week, Jesus says, follow me. But there's an important shift that occurs. Come and see was discovery, finding out who Jesus is, staying with him, abiding in his presence. But follow me, that's about direction. Going where Jesus goes, moving with Jesus, walking wherever he leads. Come and see was about being with. Follow me is about going with. From staying to moving, from abiding to following. From where you are to where you are going. And then watch this. The scripture says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, no hesitation, no let me think about it, no give me time to weigh out my options, but it says at once. Then Jesus goes a little farther and sees James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and they're in a boat as well, and they are preparing nets. Jesus calls them, and notice, and immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him. Which asks the question, why does Matthew tell this story twice? Peter and Andrew, same pattern. James and John, same pattern. Two pairs, two callings, same immediate response. And what I believe is that Matthew is showing us this isn't unique to Peter and Andrew. This isn't about spiritual people with spiritual callings. This is the pattern of how the kingdom works. The king arrives, the king moves, the king calls, and we follow. You follow. Not just Peter and Andrew, not just James and John. Everyone who encounters the kingdom is called to follow. Now, I always found this intriguing and have always asked the question, why fishermen? In fact, I've talked about this once before, but it's really interesting to me. Jesus doesn't call priests. He doesn't call religious professionals. He doesn't call scribes and Pharisees. He calls fishermen. And he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. It's a well-known phrase that Jesus has said that we know very well. But why fishermen? What's interesting to me is that Jesus could have called carpenters. After all, he was one. And he could have said to these carpenters, follow me and I will make you builders of the kingdom. And that would have made perfect sense. Carpenters build things, they measure things, they cut, they join, there's a cause and effect. You can see the result of your work. Or Jesus could have easily called farmers as well. Israel was full of them. And Jesus could have said to them, follow me and I will make you harvesters in God's field. And that would have worked. Farmers plant and everything and eventually harvest. There is waiting involved, but the outcome is predictable. Plant wheat, get wheat. But Jesus also could have called shepherds. That's the most common biblical metaphor for leadership. And Jesus could have said to them, follow me and I will make you shepherds of God's flock. And actually, he does say that to Peter later. Feed my sheep, direct relationship, countable results, and you know where your sheep are. But first, he calls fishermen and he says, follow me. And I will make you, and he changes it, fishers of people. So again, the question I ask is, why fishermen? And I have come to this conclusion is that the reason why Jesus asked fishermen is because fishing, more than any other occupation, requires faith. Listen to me carefully. Fishermen, they can know everything about fishing. They can know the right nets. They can have the best techniques, how to read the surface of the water, when the fish are feeding, where they usually school, what time of day to cast. A fisherman can have years of experience, the best equipment, perfect knowledge of the patterns, but at the end of the day, you still cast your nets into water you cannot see. You can do everything right and still catch nothing. You can cast the same net in the same spot the next day and pull up a boatload. You cannot control the catch. You cannot see beneath the surface. You have to trust that when you pull up the net, something will be there. Think about the other occupations that I mentioned. Our carpenter trusts in his joints will hold. He can test it. He can see it. He can verify it. He can make it true. A farmer trusts his seeds will grow. But he's seen it before. He knows the pattern. Plant wheat, get wheat. And a shepherd trusts his sheep will follow. But he's trained them. They know his voice. He has a relationship with them, and he can count on the outcome. But a fisherman casts into darkness, literally darkness beneath the water surface. A fisherman trusts there will be a catch he cannot control. A fisherman depends on what he cannot guarantee. Every single cast is an act of faith. That's the occupation Jesus chose, because that's the kind of dependency discipleship requires. When Jesus says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of people," he's not just being clever with the fishing metaphor. He's actually saying that posture you bring to fishing, that dependence, that faith to cast into what you cannot see, now bring that same posture to follow me. Now, when we read in verse 20, "At once they left their nets and followed him," we usually focus on one thing. We focus on the obedience of what the disciples portrayed. Wow, we think, that is obedient discipleship. They dropped everything and followed. That's radical commitment. And yes, there is obedience there, but I want to show you something deeper. Look at what they're actually leaving, the nets. That's their income. That's their economic security. They leave their boats. That's their business. That's their livelihood. For two of them, they leave their father. That's their family legacy. That's generational identity. Everything they can control. And look at what they're moving toward. They're moving toward a rabbi walking along a shore, promising to make them into something. No guarantee of provision, no certainty about where this is going, no plan, no roadmap. They just have to trust. And here's what I want you to see. When they left their nets, it looked like obedience, but it was really dependence. They were leaving everything they could control to follow someone they had to trust. They couldn't control. You see, we have this idea that discipleship is about obedience. And I've talked about this before. Obedience about following the rules, doing what Jesus says, measuring up, being good enough. We think spiritual maturity means we get better at obeying. More discipline, more consistency, trying harder. But that's not what Jesus is forming here. Jesus doesn't say, "Obey my commands and you will become fishers of people." He is saying, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of people. I will make you, not you make yourself, but follow me, not follow this program." That's dependence language. Now, Jesus says, that posture you're bringing to fishing, bring that same posture to follow me. You cannot control where I am going. You cannot guarantee the outcome, but all you can do is follow and depend on me to do what I have promised. I will make you. Just let that phrase sit with you this morning. I will make you. I will make you fishers of people. Not I will teach you the techniques. Not I will give you the training. But I will make you. This is creative language. The same word God uses in Genesis, Let us make mankind in our image. Jesus is saying, I'm going to create you into something to form you, to shape you, to transform you. And here's the critical point. This is his work, friends, not yours. Which means your job isn't to manufacture your own transformation. You're not responsible for making yourself into fishers of people or forcing your own spiritual growth. Your job is to follow. Jesus is saying, you can't make people follow me. You can't force spiritual transformation in others. You can't engineer kingdom results. All you can do is follow me and trust me to do what I've promised. I will make you fishers of people. Not you, me. Here's what happens when we forget this. We start thinking discipleship is something we manufacture. We start thinking, I need to be a better witness, or I need to grow spiritually, or I need to make an impact. And if you think your efforts is what makes transformation happen, you've stopped depending and you've start performing. You've turned follow me and I will make you into try really hard and maybe you'll achieve it. And then suddenly discipleship becomes exhausting. I've done this, and I'm willing to bet you've done this at times. Because when we are carrying Jesus's burden, a burden that he never asks, it's just exhausting. So here's what challenges when you really hear, I will make you. You stop asking, how can I be a better Christian? You stop asking, how can I serve more effectively? How can I make more kingdom impact? All how can I questions put the burden on you to manufacture the results. But what I want you to do is start asking, Jesus, where are you going? I will follow. Jesus, what are you making me into? I am trusting. Jesus, what do I need to let go of? I am depending. You see the shift? You stop asking and start asking, I will follow you. The first sets makes you the agenda. The second makes Jesus the agenda. The first is exhausting. The second is freeing. Now, let me show you what this looks like in a tangible way in our day-to-day lives. In evangelism, instead of how can I get better at sharing my faith, where the burden is on you to make people believe, start asking, Jesus, where are you leading me? I am following you. Where you simply be where Jesus is and start trusting in his work. When it comes to parenting, instead of asking, how can I make my kids follow Jesus where their faith depends on you getting it right? Start asking, Jesus, how are you working in my child's life? I am trusting in you. Where you steward them well and trust Jesus is drawing them in. This plays out everywhere in your work, in your relationships, your calling, but the pattern is always the same. How can I fix this? Puts the burden on you. Jesus, where are you at work? Returns it to him. Look at what happens next in verse 23. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God and healing. The kingdom doesn't just get talked about. The kingdom does things. And notice, They left their nets and immediately they swept up into his work. They're fishers of people from day one, not because they've mastered techniques, but because they're following the one who makes them. That's the promise, friends. As you follow, he is at work. As you depend, he is transforming. You can't see it happening, just like you can't see beneath the water's surface, but just like those fishermen trusting there would be a catch, you can trust that as you follow Jesus, he's making you into who he's promised. So here's your practice for this week. Last week, we talked about come and see, going from day one to day two. And this week, Jesus says, follow me and I will make you. And so actually, I just kind of want to put forth a little challenge before you. Every morning this week, before you start your day, ask three questions. Jesus, where are you going today? I'm following. Jesus, what are you making me into? I'm trusting. And Jesus, what do I need to let go of? I'm depending. That's how fishermen live. They cast, they wait, they trust. And they let the unseen do its work. When Peter and Andrew left their nets, it looked like obedience, but it was actually dependence. They left everything they could control to follow someone they had to trust. Jesus' promise to them is the same promise he makes you. Follow me, friends, and I will make you. Your job isn't to make it happen, but your job is to follow. And again, that's not obedience. That is deep dependence. And that is discipleship. One more thing. We've canceled church today because the roads are dangerous and the weather is serious. So I just want to say to you, be safe out there. Stay warm. Don't take unnecessary risks because the kingdom of God has come near, even in the snow, even in your living room. But Jesus doesn't need you to be heroic about getting somewhere. He just needs you to be faithful and follow wherever you are. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Please watch over us as we start a new week. May we trust in you. May we follow you. And may we depend on you in everything. Amen.